Sportsnet 650.
We do have Danny Kelly from the Ringer NFL on with us right now. Danny, what's going on, my friend?
Oh, not much. Just trying to get through this windstorm down here in Seattle. I lost power last night, and I'm out of internet now.
That's tough. I mean, in today's day and age, being without internet and power is like being naked in the street.
I know.
Yeah.
it's a weird feeling. I don't like it. I'm ready for the power and the internet to come back.
I hear you.
Do you need us to send Producer Bick with like an emergency supply of beer, drinks, food? Are you okay?
Send a generator. That's what I
All right, fair enough.
Yeah. We'll send you a generator and some internet access somehow, maybe a satellite Wi-Fi connector or something. But John and I have been sort of kicking around. Who's the best team in the NFC? Like, what's the team to beat in the NFC so far? He's picking the Eagles, and I don't think that's a wrong pick. But the team I'm taking, Danny, is the New Orleans Saints. Where do you stand on the team to beat in the NFC?
Well, you know, it's somewhere between those two teams also. I feel like the Eagles defense has proven it a little bit longer. I think that they've been good going back to last year too. They have a really, really proven, you know, explosive pass rushing front, which I think can be huge in the playoffs. I mean, we saw what the Broncos were able to do with, you know, their devastating pass rush a couple of years ago when they basically didn't even have a quarterback. But you know, obviously they do also have a quarterback. Carson Wentz has played really, really well. They've, you know, found some weapons on their offense, Ertz and Alshon Jeffrey, and Nelson Aguilar has even stepped up. I think that's big. And I think the one sort of drawback for the Eagles is their secondary hasn't necessarily been stellar, but I think they have played better than what we thought they would. And, you know, they have some guys coming back soon. Darby's going to come back, I think, and they could even get Sidney Jones back. So there are some reinforcements coming potentially. I like the Eagles a lot, but I do think I like the Saints just a little bit more because they have the Drew Brees factor. You know, their defense has played so well. They're starting to shut teams down. Marshawn Lattimore has been huge for them. He's been, you know, basically a shutdown corner from the moment he stepped onto the field. And, you know, they're getting production from other guys. Kenny Vaccaro's played well. You know, obviously Cam Robinson is a you know, quiet defensive player of the year type guy, but I mean, when you have a guy like Brees, who also is one of the greatest quarterbacks of the generation, a future Hall of Famer, that is the type of thing that can come up huge in the playoffs when sometimes, you know, like there's just more leeway there. Obviously, I like Wentz, but Brees has proven it time and time again that he can take over a game. He can put the team on his back. So for me, that might give them a little bit of an edge. But, man, those are two really, really good teams. It's tough to choose.
No, it really is. And I mean, I've been so impressed with how Carson Wentz has played. But Doug Peterson has sort of been, depending on who you ask, I mean, and I know Lombardi, your boy Mike Lombardi from The Ringer, is not the biggest Peterson fan. But right. What do you think of the job he's done? I mean, is he going to help this team? Or do you see a guy like Sean Payton, with all the success he's had, being a clear advantage as a head coach?
It's hard. I mean, it's obviously hard to compare the two. Mm-hmm. Peyton's been around a lot longer. I think I really do like what Peterson's done with that offense. I mean, we've seen what Andy Reid does in Kansas City, and I think that they're doing a very similar sort of strategy in Philly where they marry the college game, the quote college game, with the pro-style concepts, and they're doing a lot of RPOs, the read pass options, where, you know, Carson Wentz has the option of handing off, running, or passing, and it makes things tough on the defense, and they're doing some read option stuff. They're doing a lot of motion before the snap. It just makes it really hard on the defense. And I think you have to credit Peterson for what he's done there. I think that offense is really multiple. It stresses the defense both laterally and horizontally, like downfield. So that just makes it hard on them. And they've got the weapons to do it. And obviously the biggest key is having a quarterback that can run that efficiently and execute it. And Wentz has done that beautifully, but I think you have to credit Peterson with designing a scheme that, you know, fits his quarterback skill set, gets the most out of it, and also just makes it hard to defend.
Danny, since we're talking about the NFC, let's stay in the NFC West. Your Seattle Seahawks down there, they're obviously getting hit by injuries, but can you confirm Byron Maxwell rejoining the Legion of Boom there?
That is the word. I think a couple rap sheets tweeted it, and Schefter, and it's what I actually did hear that before he came to town, that was what the team was planning on doing. It was funny because as soon as Sherman got hurt, I think I tweeted it out, and everyone was like, you know, oh gosh, is he healthy? Is he good? Like, mm-hmm. His last 2 years have been a little up and down in terms of, you know, he he struggled a bit, or I guess 3 years. He struggled a bit in Philly and then kind of found his footing. And then he played really well for the Eagle or for the Dolphins last year, mm-hmm. at times. And he struggled this year. And obviously that's why they released him. But I've always been a big fan of his. I think the way he plays, he's physical. He does a good job of not getting beat over the top. When you go back to the 2013 season with the Seahawks, he did a really good job of staying over the top, never getting beat deep. He's got that patented punch move where if he does give up a reception, he's very good at forcing fumbles, and that's the turnover thing is huge for the Seahawks. So I think he fits in their system, and it seems like a pretty it's a low risk move. I don't think he's probably going to cost the Seahawks too much. He hadn't seen much interest on the open market. He worked out in Atlanta, I think, but didn't sign there. And so it's a high upside, low risk move. And if he can give them some depth, he might even come in and start. We'll see. Mm. It could be, a really good move.
And on that note, since we're talking about cornerbacks, Deshaun Shedd, Pete Carroll said earlier this week that he seems to have hit a plateau in his recovery from the ACL. What is going on with that situation? I know they've got maybe like a week left to make a decision on him.
Yep.
Do you think they're going to bring him back, or is he done for the year?
I mean, if you're doing the whole let's translate Pete Carroll talk, that to me sounds bad.
Right.
I'll put it that way. I don't have any insight into it because I think they are probably doing the wait and see game, see how he does, this last week, and then they'll make a decision. But when Carroll says that, he's so good at tiptoeing around sort of the truth. We've got like these code words that he uses where if something's significant, that's always like that season ending injury.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So I think him saying that he plateaued, that is a bad omen for me. I think you probably don't want to count on him coming back. I mean, if he does, that's a great, it's a great sign. It's a bonus, I think. But number one, they signed Maxwell, which is kind of a bad sign. And two, when Carroll's saying stuff like that, you have to think that maybe he's not going to be close to being ready. Could get shut down for the year. We'll see. Obviously it's a hard injury to come back from, and especially at a position like cornerback where, you need that quick twitch burst and explosiveness to make up ground on receivers and stuff like that. So I'm guessing they won't push him back. So that we'll see what happens.
We're in conversation with Danny Keller from The Ringer here talking NFL on Sportsnet 650 with Sat and John. Now, I do want to touch on the Los Angeles Rams before we move out of the NFC. Or, you know what? Let's put these two teams together. The Vikings and Rams, which one of these two teams is more likely to keep this winning going? They're both 7-2 on the season.
Whew, that's another tough one. I wrote about the NFC like playoff schedule this week, and it's just, it's wide open.
Yeah.
A lot of teams have really tough schedules down the stretch. And I mean, you want to believe in the Vikings because they have a very good defense and their offense has managed to stay clicking even with, whatever you want to call Case Keenum, a game manager, I guess is probably the most accurate description of him. But he's managed to do really well. He's clicking with his receivers. Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen are one of the top, receiver duos in the NFL probably. So I think you have to respect them. But to me, the Rams are, I think, a little bit more interesting because and people want to say, oh, let's see him show it for a little longer before you start to believe. And I definitely kind of get that. But I don't know about you guys, but I've had this feeling the Rams are going to be better than they're going to be a lot better for like 4 years now. It's just because they've got so much talent.
Right.
And for the longest time, they underachieved based on that talent. I feel like they're finally playing to their true talent level. And so that makes me really kind of a believer in them. And we've seen they've been completely blowing teams out. I don't think people realize how hard it is to blow out another NFL team. Like that's a notable thing. I think they've blown out, four or five teams mm-hmm. already this year, four teams. And that's like the same amount of times they've gotten double digit wins. I saw a stat. I don't know exactly what it is, but basically what they've done, I think it's a couple of like four games where they scored 40 points this year and they hadn't done that. They'd done that more this year than in the last like two decades or something crazy like that. So it's significant. I don't know. I butchered that stat, but it's significant what they've done this year in terms of just blowing teams out that they should be beating. We'll see what happens. They've got one of the toughest schedules in the NFL coming up.
Mm-hmm.
They've got a real gauntlet that they got to run through. And and that could really shake things up, and we could be talking like, you know, we could be talking about it a lot differently in a month from now. But they've got the offense. Their defense has turned into, again, one of the best defenses in the NFL, and that's always going to be a foundation for them. I don't think that's going away. You know, I have a lot of faith in Wade Phillips to do his thing. He's always made defenses better everywhere he's gone. And he just, I don't know, I think that they've got a lot of balance. They've got an explosive offense. And we talked about the Eagles having sort of this multiple, very tough to defend offense. They're the same deal. They do a ton of motion before the snap. Jared Goff has been sort of a revelation this year because he was terrible as a rookie. And he's done a really good job of improving and sort of turning out to be what I think the Rams thought he was going to be when they drafted him. So the Rams make me really nervous. I would say I'd probably put more faith in the Vikings just right now, just based on the Rams' upcoming schedule. We got to see what they can do against some of the top teams in the AFC, because they're going up against some heavyweights.
No, absolutely. And that's the way I look at this team, too. I mean, people make the case like, well, they haven't really beaten a good team other than the Cowboys. But the fact that you are blowing out teams by scoring 40 more or 50 points, that's not an easy thing to do in the NFL. And to me, I put a lot of stock in a team that absolutely blows other teams out of the water. But I did want to touch on the Carolina Panthers, too, and that division as a whole. Now, we talk about the Saints being really good. But the NFC wildcard race is really going to come down to the wire this season, because the Falcons are playing better and the Panthers are playing well. And what do you make of that division and those two teams in particular?
Well, I mean, we saw last night what the good version of the Panthers can do, right? Obviously, the Dolphins aren't a good team. It's amazing they've won four games this year. But when Cam Newton runs and when he's got his passing game kind of on lockdown, they are a really tough team because they've got a good defense too. They're like the Rams. They've got a really good foundation in their defense. And when their offense is clicking, man, they can beat you in a lot of ways. So I think, again, I have a hard time really fully investing in the Panthers just because their offense has been so like Jekyll and Hyde this year, just terrible in one game, amazing in the next. Cam Newton's kind of at the center of that. Their run game has been really, really up and down. I know like both McCaffrey and Jonathan Stewart came into this game averaging less than three yards per carry. And so to see them go off in the run game last night was a good sign, but we have to see them do it a little bit more for me to really buy in it. The other thing I think that's interesting, I would ask you guys this question, is there's a lot of theories going around that Newton and the Panthers offense in general is just a lot better without Kelvin Benjamin, which I think is a fascinating just the angle and idea, because obviously Benjamin's production has been really good the last few years, or when he's on the field, that is. And when you take him out of that offense, like if Newton's not totally force feeding him, it makes the offense almost run a little bit more efficiently. So I think that's kind of an interesting thought, and it might be why they decided to trade him.
Yeah, I think that's interesting. I don't disagree with that either, because we've seen this analogy in other sports before, where a coach or keeps going to a player over other players, and it's like it drives the GM crazy that he keeps going to this guy. So the solution is the GM trades away that player, and all of a sudden the coach is forced to use other players, or the quarterback's forced to use other players, and all of a sudden that offense becomes better. Because you're right. I mean, when you have guys like Samuel, you have players like Christian McCaffrey, guys can really do things. I mean, they can be really versatile. You saw last night. When you get Christian McCaffrey the ball, whether it's a passing game or give him the ball running the ball, he really has a lot of talent. And the way he runs routes is pretty amazing, I think.
Yeah, I mean, he's a running back that can be a slot receiver as well. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And that got Jonathan Stewart more involved. He's kind of carrying the load a little bit for them. And they've just got more ways to get open. I know the last couple of years, I saw this stat last year. I think it was an NFL Next Gen stat that said no one was forcing – I should say his – no quarterback's receivers had less separation last year than Cam Newton's. And that, to me, says a lot. Obviously, that's because Benjamin and Funchess are both very tall, big guys. They're possession-style receivers, red zone threats. But they need guys that can get open, you know? Yeah. There's a reason that Cam Newton's completion percentage has been so low the last few years, his whole career, really, is because he hasn't ever had the benefit of having guys that, you know, can get open on their own. I think that's why McCaffrey was a big deal for them. And, you know, obviously Samuel, I think he got hurt last night, but we'll see if he can get back on the field and give him another weapon like that and So I don't know. It's a really interesting sort of, I know my boss calls it Ewing theory.
Right. yeah, that's a good one. Well, you saw what happened with the Knicks when Ewing went out.
Exactly. So I don't know if it's going to happen. It sure seemed like it last night. To me, they're a really interesting team. Obviously, they went, you know, they're a couple of years away from, you know, being a almost undefeated team and just completely dominant team. So I don't know. They are another team that make you nervous going down the stretch. The NFC is crazy right now.
Mm-hmm. No, it really is. And I'm looking forward to watching how this plays out in the second half of the season. Danny Kelly from The Ringer NFL. Great stuff as always. We appreciate you coming on and always look forward to chatting with you about the NFL.
Sportsnet 650.